Well, good morning and welcome to The Grove. If I haven't had the privilege of meeting you before, my name's Ryan, one of the pastors around here. Let me tell you, it was hard to miss that many pitches in the batting cage. I had to work really hard to make it look like I was really missing. So anyway, we're morons. All right, listen, let me just say this and get this out of the way. Happy Father's Day to all of the dads out there today. Whether you're a dad, an adoptive dad, a stepdad, maybe you're a father figure, spiritual dad, there's a lot of roles that can encapsulate that title. So just want to say happy Father's Day. If you have your Bibles with you, I want to encourage you to take those out. We're going to be in a couple different places today. The first one is we're going to start in the book of John, okay? Chapter 1, starting in verse 12. Of course, you can follow along on your smartphone if you have a Bible app. John chapter 1, verse 12. We'll get there in a few moments. But it's interesting how a simple three-word phrase like Happy Father's Day can immediately stir something inside of us, can it? Elicit a response for some of us emotionally, for others mentally, and for some even physically. For some, it brings joy. For others, it can bring gratitude. For others, sadness. For some, it brings back memories. For others, maybe it brings back wounds. But the truth is that every one of us, when we hear those words, we hear them through the lens of our own story, our own history, and our own past experience. And oftentimes, our experiences shape our responses to things. For some, that phrase this morning elicits a strong response. For others, maybe not so much. For some, the response is a positive one. Others, maybe it's a negative connotation. Some of us had amazing earthly fathers. Some had fathers who tried their best but fell short. I think we all do to some extent because we're imperfect. Some of us had fathers who were absent. Others, maybe fathers who were abusive. Some never knew their father. Or if you're like me, you lost your father far too soon. Some are grieving today and others are celebrating today. As many of you know, I've mentioned this before, my dad passed away back in 2019. And while today carries with it a bit of sadness for me and a bit of grieving, can I just tell you this? I would never want others around me not to be able to celebrate their dads because of my experience. I want to be someone who will celebrate alongside of them. In fact, there's a passage in Romans chapter 12. The Apostle Paul is writing, and he uses this line. He goes, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. And though even though I'm grieving because my past experience, I'm missing my dad, he's not here anymore, I want to celebrate with those around me. And whether we realize it or not, our experience often can shape, when it comes to that phrase, Happy Father's Day, even how we relate or see God. Let me give you a couple examples. If your earthly father was loving, it may be easier for you to trust God. If your father was distant, God may seem distant. If your father abandoned you, you may struggle to believe that God won't. If your father was impossible to please, you may think God is too. Here's the issue. God is not just a bigger version of our earthly father. He's so much more. In fact, earthly fathers were meant to be a reflection of him. And oftentimes we don't live up to that. And all of this can directly affect how you and I respond, whether it's when we're in church or maybe when we're reading our Bible at home. It can elicit responses when we engage scriptural phrases like God the Father, or the Father heart of God, or being adopted into God's family. Because for many of us, our experiences with our earthly father, whether positive or negative, have become attached to how we view our heavenly father. And so today I want to look at what scripture actually says about the father heart of God. What does God actually say about himself? I was going to click on some passages of scripture here, but they're not on my iPad anymore. So I'm just going to read them to you. I had you turn there to the first one. It's John chapter 1, starting in verse 12. There it is. And the author of John says this, but to all who did receive him, and who is he speaking about when he says him? He's speaking of Christ. He said that all who did receive him, Christ, who believed in his name, Christ, he gave the right, come on, that's a powerful word, to become children of God. But to all who did receive Christ, those who have found freedom in him, who believe in his name, he gave the right. I want to pause for a moment. You and I know what rights we have. We were, most of us, born in America, right? I got the right to say what I want. I got the right to believe what I want. I got the right to do what I want, when I want, how I want. Oh, you want to prosecute me? I got the right to due process. I know I get a phone call, right? We've grown up knowing our rights. And I love this because what the author says is when you and I, for those that have put our faith in Christ, who believed in his name, he then gave us the right to become children of God. I'm going to go to that next passage. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, and I love this. He goes further into this conversation and he says, he, God, predestined us for, and here's this word, adoption. And he did not use this word unintentionally. He said, he predestined us for adoption to who? To himself as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. You and I have been adopted in to his family. And that word is powerful. We're going to talk more about that in just a moment. I'm going to go to the next passage. This is 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. And it says this, see what kind of love the Father has given to us. What kind of love did he give us? That we should be called children of God, and so we are. And the last passage here that I want to read, kind of a cornerstone foundational message for today. It's again, the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8, verse 15. And Paul says it this way, he doubles down. And he said, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of, there it is again, adoption, as sons and daughters by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Paul is saying, for you and I who have put our faith in Christ, we didn't receive a spirit to fall back into fear, but you and I received the spirit of adoption, again, intentional use of this word, as sons and daughters by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And if you don't know what that word means, Abba, his audience back then would have fully known. It'd be like you and I going back to when we're 2, 3, 4, 5 years old and we crawl up into our daddy. Abba's like saying daddy into his lap. So Paul's saying you and I are adopted in. And it's like we come to him as sons and daughters and we call him daddy. Did you notice a repeating theme throughout these passages? Words like father, children, sons and daughters, adoption. It's the idea of family. God continually reveals himself as a father who desires relationship with his children. You see, the father heart of God is revealed through this idea, through this theme, through this illustration of adoption. The gospel is not merely forgiveness. It's not merely transactional. For some of us in this room, you thought this was just going to be a message to dads and you thought, man, I'm just going to check out for today. Can I tell you, don't check out, because somebody in here, you need to hear this. You have lived your whole life as a Christian and a believer under the pretense that your relationship with God was only about one thing, and that was the price that he sent his son to pay for you, which gives us forgiveness. By the way, if that were it, it would be enough. If that were all it was, it would be enough. And yet it's so much more than that. It's so much more than just you're up there in heaven as a savior and I'm down here. It's more than master and servant, that you are God and I'm just a tiny human. And if that were all it was, that would be enough. And yet in his goodness and in his sovereignty, there is so much more. It's what the passage we just read. The gospel message is not just about forgiveness. It is about family. God didn't just cancel our debt. He brought us home. He didn't simply save us from something. He adopted us into something. He adopted you and I into a family. We are now not just affiliated with our name, but his name. Not just with our reputation, but his reputation. We're adopted into his inheritance and his kingdom and into a relationship. The highest privilege of Christianity, of being followers of Jesus, is not simply that we are forgiven by God. If it was, it would be enough. And yet he's so much greater than that. And it's so much more that you and I are called children of God. Think about that for a moment. The creator of the universe looks at you and he calls you son and he calls you daughter, invites you into his family, not because of what you've done, not because you've earned it, but because of his love. Adoption means we are chosen. It's one of the most beautiful pictures, I think, in all of scripture. Changed my life when I came face to face with a message just like this. I was about 15 or 16 years old. This idea of the Father heart of God and the adoptive spirit of God. Because natural children, catch this, are born into a family, but adopted children are intentionally chosen. I believe God's sovereignty over us ending up in the families that we're in. I'm grateful that my daughter is in my family, but there is a difference. Those of us that are born into a family, children are that way, but adopted children are intentionally chosen. What does that mean? God looked at us in our brokenness, me in my sin, you in your rebellion, at us in our pain, and he said, I want that one in my family. Not tolerated, not merely just accepted, oh, you can hang around. No, chosen, wanted, and loved. Somebody needs to hear that today because you don't feel it right now. You may not even believe it right now. You may have spent your whole life wondering if you were wanted, wondering if you mattered, wondering if anyone will ever choose you. Can I tell you today, the Father already has. Before you chose him, he chose you. Before you ever cleaned up your life or tried to, he was already coming after you and chose you. Regardless of if you have anything to offer him at all, he chose you. That's the adoptive father heart of God. I've told bits and pieces of my story about my dad before. If you've heard some of those, you kind of know where I'm going with this. If you haven't, my dad, we lost him in 2019. And today, as I mentioned, is always sort of filled with grief. I wish he was here. I wish you could call him up and say, hey, Pop, what's up? That's what I used to call him when I call him on the phone. Right? To go deeper than that, though, that's not the whole of my story. In fact, it's not even close, because when I refer to my dad, he's not my biological dad. When I was 11 months old, my mom had been married several times, and she had two boys and two girls. This would have been tail end of 1979. Let me help transport you back to bell bottoms and the whole deal, all right? Into the beginning parts of 1980. And when she got married to my dad, not my biological dad, but my dad, it was literally a Brady Bunch deal. He had three boys. So instead of three boys and three girls, it was two boys, two girls, and three boys together. And I said this before, my closest sibling in age to me was 10 years older than me. So when they got married, it was some adolescents, some teenagers, and a few of them were already out of the house by that time. Because the reality is that for me, my biological dad, as soon as he found out that my mom and him were not married, that she was pregnant, he bounced, didn't want to have anything to do with me. I've never received a letter, a call, a meeting, anything from my biological dad. And when I was 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, somewhere there, I don't really remember the age, when my parents thought I was old enough to at least have that conversation to bring me into this fact that my dad had adopted me, I remember hearing the story and they sat down and they had this conversation. And of course, at 7, 8, 9, the mind's not fully developed, but I'm still having all these thoughts. And if you've been down that road, or if any of this is familiar to you, you know exactly what I'm saying, but you're wrestling through like, wait, what? You're not my dad? Like, what? Like, what do you mean? Because I was only 11 months. It's not like I was, you know, my brothers and sisters who fully understood it. There was also feelings, light ones, but wait, I have a dad that didn't want to know me. Like, sort of those feelings of rejection and abandonment. I was kind of wrestling through that. Of course, in the next like year or so, there was moments that I tried to use that to my advantage when my dad would discipline me. I said, you can't discipline me. You're not even my real dad. And can I pause for a moment and just say this? I know that there's some men in this room right now, you are walking out exactly the type of scenario that my dad did. That you are a blended family of some sort. And can I say this? My dad never treated me like I wasn't his son. He never treated my siblings. My sister's probably watching online right now. We would always say, my dad always treated all of us exactly the same. It wasn't her kids and my kids. My dad always treated us the same. He didn't treat me like I was somebody else's kid. When I got a little bit older, 13, 14, 15 years old, I thought I had kind of dealt with this stuff, this idea of, oh yeah, whatever. And then I heard a message like this about the adoptive spirit of God, the father heart of God, and how he adopts us in. And it brought back up stuff that I hadn't fully dealt with yet. Still only 15 or 16, not a fully developed mind, but more so than when I was 9 or 10. And man, did it hit me hard to go like, there's somebody out there that's my blood that didn't even want to know me at all. Doesn't even care to find out. Doesn't even have a curiosity that he's running. And I really began to have to deal with this idea of being abandoned. And how could somebody, I can't imagine for my kids right now not being in their lives no matter what happened. And then I heard a message just like the one we're talking about today. And it was interesting because I had a dichotomy that I was wrestling through because on one hand, abandoned, somebody who didn't want to know me. In fact, I found out when I got a little bit older that not only did he abandon and not want to have anything to do with us, he did everything he could to skip out on child support in any way possible that he could. But at the same time, the other side of that dichotomy is that I had a dad who was present, that I never knew anything different. And I'll tell you this right now, there are some dads where you're walking, that's you're raising other kids that are not your own as if they are. And it might not feel like it. It's probably tough. There are fights. There are the moments that they say things like I say that they don't mean it, but they just want to say it, which you're not even my dad. But I'm telling you, I see you. God sees you. And you are doing something for them that's one of the greatest gifts that they will ever have, even if they don't realize it right now. My dad never treated me like someone else's child. He treated me like a son. He showed up. He sacrificed. He loved. He stayed. I never grew up feeling like I was less than his own. He coached me, encouraged me, disciplined me. Man, did I hate it when he disciplined me. He provided for me. He loved me. He was dad, even though I wasn't his blood. And in 2019, my brother gave me a call. He had been going through a cancer treatment, did a surgery, and was doing chemo. And it ended up not going well. My brother called and said, Ryan, you probably need to get down to Arizona. That's where they lived. And so my wife and I and two of our kids loaded up in a van and we drove down there to see him. And you got to understand, my dad was salt of the earth, looked nothing like me. I'm super tall. He's stocky. He's super hairy. He was always super strong. There he is. Actually, that's just right out here. And I walked into his room and he was a skeleton of himself. And I just wanted to get in the room with him. And I just began to play worship music and just pray for him. And he was sort of there, but not there. I think there's a picture when I went to do a treatment with him one day at the walk-in clinic where he'd get one of the chemo treatments. But I walked in and I saw him like this. I just spent time with him in his room. And what's really weird is it's odd, maybe less for the ladies in this room, but as dudes, being a man and he's a man, like the idea of holding your dad's hand feels weird. But it's crazy how when life comes full circle where you were a child and they held you on their lap and they held your hand as you walked somewhere, it comes full circle back to the other side when they're the ones now in need of help. And he just said, will you just hold my hand? And I began to pray with him. And I told him, I don't know if he fully heard it or not. Again, he was sort of in and out of everything at that point, but I kind of held his hand and I just said, Dad, I want you to know something. And I hope he heard it. I don't know for sure that he did, but I hope that he heard it. But I just said, I want you to know that when it comes to you, I won the lottery. Because I know my story could be way different. I know that if my mom hadn't got married again, and if I would have grown up in a home without a dad, that I could have just fallen right into the same mistakes that my biological dad did. Or if she had married a guy who didn't treat me just like he was his own, that I could have grown up being bitter. And repeat those same mistakes and feeling less than and have all this baggage to deal with. But my dad stayed and I told him I won the lottery when it came to you. And through that relationship, that's my experience. God gave me a living picture of his own heart because that's what God does. He takes people who feel unwanted and he says, you're mine. He takes people who feel abandoned and he says, I will never leave you or forsake you. He takes people who feel rejected and says, I have chosen you. The greatest gift my earthly dad ever gave me wasn't how to do chores. It wasn't my work ethic. It wasn't how to work on my car. It wasn't how to get good grades or how to treat women. The greatest gift was not how to honor my boss, how to become rich, save for retirement, or become famous. And all of these things are fine and good, but his greatest gift and the greatest calling was pointing me to Jesus and also modeling something powerful about my heavenly Father, that I am grafted in, I am adopted into his family. My life could have turned out so different. I could not be a pastor on a stage speaking to you on a Sunday morning had it not been for my earthly dad. My dad was far from perfect, but he did model in many ways what it is truly to be a godly, earthly father. To all the fathers in the room, whichever category of that title that you might fit in, can I encourage you? Our calling is far greater than providing a paycheck. Is it important to do that? Yes, it's not the most important. Our calling is far greater than coaching a team or helping your kids succeed in life. A godly father loves, is present, is consistent, protects, serves. A godly father leads with humility and asks forgiveness when he gets it wrong. A godly father models integrity and points his family towards Jesus. Because at the end of the day, the greatest thing an earthly father can do is not raise successful children by whatever definition that is for you. It's to raise children who know, love, and follow Jesus. Because one day our children won't stand before us and give account. They'll stand before God and do so. And our greatest responsibility is helping them know our Heavenly Father who adopted them, loves them, and calls them his own. And if you're a dad here today and you feel like you can never live up to, you can never achieve that list or find that you're glaringly aware of your areas that you fall short, please hear me. I'm still working on these. Ask my wife. Ask my kids. I fail at many of them. I'm not perfect, but I'm trying. I'm aware. I'm working on it. And my eyes are on the goal. And when I fall, I get back up again. When I fall, I serve again. When I fall, I apologize again. To everyone else who's here today or watching online, if your earthly father, adoptive father, stepdad, father figure, spiritual dad, whatever your story is, if he's still around and your experience is a positive one, first, give him grace. He knows he's not perfect. And second, don't wait until it's too late. Don't wait for a eulogy at his memorial, or like me, waiting until the end is in sight and you're sitting in a room holding his hand to tell him how you feel and what he means to you. Tell him now. Enjoy him now. Take his advice. Take my advice through the good and the bad. Be grateful you still have time. Or if you're here or watching online, your experience with your earthly father is one of disappointment or rejection, abandonment, hurt, loss, complete absence, or any one of those things that we've mentioned, can I also encourage you? Don't allow the shortcomings of an imperfect earthly father to keep you from experiencing the love of your perfect heavenly father. Your story may have begun with rejection, or somewhere along the way, the relationship may have become broken or strained or even completely estranged. Whatever your story is, whatever your experience has been, hear this today. Your earthly father may have shaped your view of God, but he does not define God. Your father in heaven is not the your father in heaven is not the reflection of your earthly father. He is the perfection of everything a father was always meant to be. And while your story may have started a certain way, through Jesus Christ, it can end with adoption. Because the final word over your life is not rejected, is not forgotten. It's not abandoned or unwanted. The final word over your life is chosen, loved, its son, and its daughter. Amen? Let me pray for you today. God, I thank you. This is a heavy topic. God, I know there are some here today the wrestling through real emotions and real feelings because of the story and because of their history. And God, I just simply pray right now two things. One, I pray for those that know deep in their heart as they hear this message today, this father heart of God or the adoption of God, they can realize that at moments that they've heard or moments that they've read words like this, that there has been almost a wall or a barrier between them and you because those emotions are real. Those feelings, those physical responses, God, those thoughts are real. But God, I pray for a breakthrough. I pray today, like for me at 15 and 16, it can be a different moment from here on, knowing that you are not our earthly father, that our earthly fathers fail us. They're not even perfect. Even the ones that are great make mistakes. But God, we don't want to miss out. God, I pray for those struggling not to miss out on a connection with you and a relationship with you because of what they've experienced here. So God, I don't know what that means for everybody, but I pray that you're real in their situation, in their minds, and in their hearts as they engage this topic. And God, we thank you. First and foremost, we are grateful that through repentance, we can have forgiveness. And yet even more so, it doesn't stop there. It doesn't end there. If it did, it would be enough. And yet you're so good that you go even a step further. And it's not just master and servant. It's not just God and little peon human. God, it is. You've adopted us in. We've taken your name. We have your inheritance because you've adopted us in with that right to be your children. God, I pray that you would do a work in our hearts, that you would draw us near to you. God, for those that need comfort today, would you comfort them? Who need peace today, would you bring peace? In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen.